Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier, behind the glass as well. Coming up Thursday, we're going to be at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, and they have started a happy hour Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. You can go in there and get some great specials. Also a great spot for any event at Bridgestone Arena, whether it be a Preds game or a concert. Ascend or the Ryman Auditorium. Just stop in Bar Lines, one of our favorite places in the Omni Nashville Hotel, because there are so many awesome places to go inside that building. Go check out the happy hour at Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We say hello now to John McClain down in Houston. John, what's up? How are you?
I'm doing great. I've been watching the I love watching the Combine on the NFL Network, even after it's over. And I watch it over and over and over to watch the players, hear everything being said about them. It always blows me away. There was an interview earlier at the start of the Combine, asked multiple NFL coaches if they move players up and down based on the Combine. Every one of them said no. They talk about they do that off tape and other, evaluations. And yet you see the media people doing it like crazy every single year, but the teams swear they don't. And but I love watching it. Once the NFL Network came in and took it over and started televising it, that took it to a whole new level, and I can't get enough of it.
Do you think – I mean, we've talked about this before, but I just feel like – I know Indy loves having it, and it's a good central spot, and you know everything being right there together downtown. But I feel like this is another opportunity for the NFL to make more money and move it around.
Well, they're not doing it for the fans; they do it for the players, and I don't think that would be a benefit. It benefits the players in the league, and if you ask anybody, they'd want to stay right there because number one, it's centrally located. Number two, you can walk everywhere. If it's snowing, you can walk on all the walkways, never have to go outside. You have your hotel right there, all the media hotels, and the only thing they have to get on a van or a bus for is to go to the hospital for their physicals, and everybody loves it there. And there's plenty of places like Jerry Jones wants it out at Frisco, where his facility is. Well, of course he wants it there because he owns half the places around it, and who would benefit financially? Jerry Jones. And plus, Frisco is way out. You can't walk anywhere. And L.A. wants it, and they want it for San Kroenke wants to bring it in there and use the building for the NFL Network across the street from the stadium. Well, that'd be terribly inconvenient for people coming from the East Coast. So it always comes down to money. If Jerry Jones can put money in the owner's pockets that is not being put in by Indy, or if Stan Kroenke can do it, they'll do it. There used to be regional combines. People got tired of going to like Seattle or Tampa. That's how they came up with Indy in 87. And I was there for the first one, and you didn't get hardly any media at any regional combine, and you didn't get much at all. I can remember 5, 6, 7, 8 writers. I was hanging out in the lobby of the Crown Plaza and grabbing any player we came out, asking who he was, where he's from, and usually doing interviews waiting for the draft. And then we saw it go to a whole different level where everybody started doing stories every day, and you had a miniature radio row, all the TVs came, and it's exciting. It is a great event for people to go to.
John McClain is with us. So the Texans get David Montgomery from Detroit, send a couple of draft picks and Juice Scruggs the other way. What do you think about that move for Houston?
Well, Juice Scruggs, we're going to make this team. He's been a big disappointment. Second round pick. Another example of general manager Nick Caserio's incompetency in building an offensive line. And he traded Titus Howard, number one pick in 19. Who was a regular starter. Last year he played right tackle and left guard for a fifth-round pick, and they already needed linemen. And for a team that went to the second round of the playoffs, and the line was better in pass protection, but they couldn't run block worth a damn. David Montgomery has averaged 11 touchdowns a season rushing. He had 33 the last 3 years, and then the Texans had 34. That's an example of how incompetent they are running the football, whether it's in the middle of the field or down inside the five-yard line. So it's just like Joe Mixon 2 years ago. I thought, well, he's 28 years old. He's going to be 29. Montgomery's going to be 29. But after watching what Mixon did and Nick Caserio stole the Bengals blind, they were going to cut Mixon, not sure why. He just scored 12 touchdowns and had averaged 12 touchdowns in three previous seasons. So instead of him being a free agent and the Texans having to bid on him as a vested veteran, he said, well, we'll give you seven. So the Bengals, well, that's better than nothing. They took the seven. Mixon was their best offensive player, and he gave them life in a running game, receiving game. If he hadn't had two illegal hip drop tackles, which cost him 3.5 games and ultimately surgery, he might have rushed for 1,500 yards and had another 3 or 4 as a receiver. So they're hoping David Montgomery can do this. I personally wanted them to get an offensive tackle in the first round. This is before the trades, or guard. And with the first pick in the second round, which belonged to Washington in the Laramie Tunsil trade, get a running back like Jadarius Price from Notre Dame or Washington from Arkansas, and then get another offensive lineman in the second round. But as it is, they'll have Montgomery, Woody Marks. Last year, Montgomery will be here, probably a max of 2 years. And if he could do here what he did there, you know, there's no shame getting beaten out by Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs was a great breakaway back, a number one pick. So they had a nice twosome going there. So the Texans are happy with it. So they gave up a 4-7 and Juice Scruggs. And I keep seeing these national people talking about how they got fleeced. And I'm thinking, have you watched Juice Scruggs? Of course you haven't, because he hadn't played. He started one game last year. And then I think it was Albert Breer took a line out of his pre-draft evaluation. And it was a great sentence. And a guy here goes, well, if he could still do that, he never would have been traded. So anyway, it's just like the Mixon trade. They're desperate for a running game. And I'll tell you this while we're talking about running backs. I think the Titans, I don't care if Robert Saleh has a chance for David Bailey. I don't care who it is. Jeremiah Love, if he's available, can transform an offense. Nobody can help a quarterback like a great running back. I saw what Earl Campbell did here. Bum Phillips traded up in 78, took him first overall. He transformed him into a playoff team 3 years in a row. AFC championship game 2 years in a row, led the league in rushing all 3 seasons. And before they fired Bum Phillips, and I saw what Arian Foster did here from UT and undrafted, and then they put him in the lineup at the end of the season, and then his first start the next year, they beat Peyton Manning and the Colts for the first time. And he became the greatest running back in history, and they became a perennial playoff team. So you can't beat a back who can run, catch, and block, and Love can do it all.
Amen to that, John. John McClain's on the Chase the Big Joe Show. That was my question. We had Jeff Fisher on at 12:30, John, and we asked him about taking Eddie George in 1996 when he still had Marvin Harrison on the board, Eric Molds on the board. He said, we thought the best compliment for Steve would be a great running back. And there you have it. And that's the thing here, John. Love had the great combine. And everything you just said, we're all aboard the Love train now. We all want him to come here because what he could do. And look, you got two good pieces there and you spend good in free agency. You're exactly right, John. And you were there when they took Eddie George. Were you shocked they took Eddie in 96 at 14?
Well, first of all, Jeff's a defensive coordinator. Defensive coordinators are always going to run the ball. So he wanted him. Robert Saleh, defensive coordinator. He's always going to run the ball. 49ers always had a running game. And I thought Saleh got shortchanged when he got fired by the Jets, but the fact he got to go back to the 49ers has helped him get a second job. Now, I had Eddie George in my mock drafts because of I knew how bad Jeff wanted him, and I knew Floyd wanted him. And I'll never forget, and I still talk to this guy, Chris Myers of Fox. Back then, he worked for ESPN. And each year, the reporters would be assigned two or three teams they were supposed to keep up with. And Chris called me, and I said, I think they're taking Eddie George, and they don't buy into this. He's gotten fat on the banquet circuit. They don't buy into he's got a shoulder injury that's probably going to require surgery. He is perfectly fit for what they want. If it was an offensive coach as the head coach, it might be different. So I was certain about it based on the way Floyd and Jeff had spoken off the record. Well, it comes down, the first round's going on, and Floyd trades down. And I jump up in my seat. Dave Pearson, their longtime PR guy who's been with Seahawks for years, said he'd never seen me jump up so fast, so quick, and start complaining about somebody like I did Floyd Reese, because I'd blown my pick. I had told ESPN wrong, because Chris Myers saying, well, my sources are telling me it's going to be Eddie George. And then, thank goodness, he was still there, and Saints coach Jim Mora said the biggest mistake he ever made was taking, I think, cornerback Alex Molden one spot before Eddie, based on Eddie's career. So it was one of the best moves that Floyd Reese made as a general manager, Jeff Fisher's head coach, because the 1-2 combo with him and Steve just worked out perfectly.
Yeah, you think they could strike that lightning again with a Cam Ward, Jeremiah Love? I mean, Love at the Combine, John, he's all the talk. I mean, he was all the talk, how good he was. He put the tape on at Notre Dame. I just think this would be a good combination here in Nashville.
Absolutely, it would, and he's a better receiver than Eddie. Earl Campbell couldn't catch a cold, but that wasn't what he did. He was a runner, a power runner. And so Love can run, he can catch, he can block. He's everything you want. And I'm wondering, the Jets aren't going to take him. Raiders aren't going to take him. And the Cardinals could use him. If I'm them, I'm worried about the Cardinals taking Jeremiah Love. And I don't know that I wouldn't offer them a pick to swap places so I could get Love. Now, if they don't do that and the Cardinals get Love, they'll probably screw it up because they're the Cardinals. And they still need a quarterback. Now, they're not going to take a quarterback there, of course, but if they get Love and they don't have a quarterback, they're going to use him up before they get a quarterback and become competitive again. And I remember Steven Jackson of the Rams, they just ran him ragged every year and they were incompetent. And here comes Kurt Warner, and by then they're thinking, man, we should have put him in suspended hibernation or whatever, you know, and then thaw him out later. And the Cardinals are very well could be in that situation. Anybody that wants Love is going to be talking to the Cardinals for that pick.
Oh, absolutely. John, real quick, in Rappaport reporting, breaking news, the Colts have put the transition tag on Daniel Jones. My question, what the hell is a transition tag?
You don't see it. You get the average of the top 10 instead of the top 5. And you get a chance to match it, and he's injured. I can't see anybody paying him a lot of money so they can, because you don't know about the injury and when he's going to play. There's a lot of speculation about that, and I think it's pretty smart because I think it's like $40 million instead of $50 million or something. It's definitely a lot less than the franchise tag. And if he comes back and he plays well, they'll redo it and pay him. Like they did in Tampa Baker Mayfield.
He is John McClain from Houston. We'll have more with him coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe on this Tuesday, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Tuesday. John McClain with us on the program, and he joins usually every Monday at 2 o'clock. We had Preds coverage yesterday. So, John, we'll be in the legal tampering period by the time we talk next week. And I asked Floyd one time about tampering, and all I got was a laugh. So that kind of told me all I needed to know about that. I mean, do you think this is – obviously the illegal tampering is still going on, but was this a good move years ago when they added legal tampering?
Well, first of all, nobody pays any attention to it. They've been cheating like crazy. What do you think they talked about? Every general manager in the league was cheating at the combine because you're talking to an agent. You're not supposed to be able to talk to an agent about a player on his team. Like if Joe played for Kansas City and that player and you and Chase, you played for the Titans, and you're only supposed to – and Berganzi's only supposed to talk about you because your contract's up or he wants to sign you to an extension. Do you think Joe's not going to talk to him about the player that he's interested in? Of course they are.
Yeah.
Everybody does it. And if all of them were Pinocchio, their noses would grow so far nobody could get around. And so that's been going on. The term legal tampering is an oxymoron. It's no such thing. But all these deals are done, and they're going to be, you know, when Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero and all those guys, you know, they're going to be tweeting. The agents will text them, and they will just basically not even rewrite, just post a text because the idea is to get it out there first. And I can't wait to see what the Titans are going to do because they have so much money to spend. And if you spend it unwisely, you know, the franchise is going to be set back. But based on everything I've heard about Gonzi, he's not going to be spending stupid money.
Do you think we kind of talked about this earlier today. Do you think wide receiver is one of the more difficult positions to get right when it comes to free agency? Because, I mean, think about how many receivers just with the Titans alone that they've signed in free agency that are big names that hadn't worked.
Like Calvin Ridley.
Like Calvin Ridley is a prime example of one.
It's hard. If you take, you know, how many wide receivers put you in the playoffs? How many wide receivers put you in the Super Bowl? Like A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is subject to so much controversy in Philadelphia. That's not what you want out of a wide receiver. You want a guy that's out there busting his butt on every play to win, and yet these guys, they pout and they whine publicly and they go on social media. They're not getting the ball enough. Then the quarterback feels pressure to get him the ball instead of playing the offense the way it's supposed to be played. And then the running backs get their feelings hurt. I don't know that to me, you've got to have a running back. You got to protect the quarterback. You can get receivers in the other round. If you look around the NFL, there's a lot of great receivers didn't come in the first round. You know, I'm sure the Titans with Robert Saleh would kill to get a great pass rusher like Dave Bailey of Texas Tech. But boy, if you got a chance to get Jeremiah Love and Robert's defense is sitting over there getting oxygen and water and talking it up because they're spending so much time on the bench because the offense is driving the ball. That is also a head coach's best friend because the last thing you want is a three and out and then another three and out and another three and out. So you can get those other players if you know what you're doing. You can get free agents. And usually, you know, you can't measure a heart. You can't measure guts. Because some guys show it, and then when they get paid the big bucks, something leaves them. And it just does, especially when they get the big signing bonus and get taken care of for life, even though Odell Beckham, you know, he got the violins out for him because he talked about how hard it was 5 years and $100 million. But I think the best staffs, and you know who they are because they're always in the playoffs or they're Super Bowl contenders. You watch how they do it. They make the fewest mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody blows it on free agents. You've got to be careful. You take a wide receiver who was impressive number two at another team. Well, it turns out because he's getting single coverage all the time and the other guy's getting doubled. Then when he comes to your team, he's getting doubled and he's not worth half of what you paid him.
Exactly on that. John, is there one player out there in free agency that the Texans got could put them over the top and make them like a true Super Bowl contender?
Well, I certainly don't think it's David Montgomery. It's got to be somebody in the offensive line, but they're going to have three new starters. They better, they're in trouble. So there's not any one in particular. Obviously, they don't like their offensive line based on what they're doing. And it was funny, Nick Caserio said at the combine, I thought our line played better, but I must have been watching different tape. And now I'm thinking he's watching the same damn tape we were.
Going to be interesting for sure. John, appreciate the time as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you very much.
John McClain down in Houston joining us usually Mondays at 2 o'clock, but had to move around with the game yesterday.
I bet you John back in the day could throw some hands. What do you think?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, man. Got a little fired up right there.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's okay. Sometimes you gotta the passion.
Love it, man.
Bring the passion. Get a little fired up.
I love it, man.
Tennessee Brew Works is the official craft beer of the football offseason coverage here on 102.5 The Game. So we appreciate them. Always love doing our shows out at Tennessee Brew Works, and we look forward to being there again soon. It's Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni here on 102.5 The Game.